Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
It's a Saturday night, Sunday morning in Miami, and before you head to live, add an E for TC Live. A big show ahead as we wrap up the day from Hard Rock Stadium and get you ready for a Sunday fun day in South Beach. Here's what's on the way. With a jam-packed schedule, we had a cavalcade of stars playing across nine courts to catch up from a rain-soaked morning. Plus, it was a woeful start to the weekend for Americans. The red, white, and feeling blue as several seeded players were sent packing. And Mother's Day came 7 weeks early in Miami as Naomi Osaka and Aryna Svitolina faced off in a battle. Nothing shy about their play as both looked to take their rankings to the sky. Hope both of their kids are watching. Come on in to our studios here in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman back alongside Monica Puig. We got Andy Roddick on the big screen. Roddick, yeah, it's an early morning for you. How we feeling past midnight?
Good morning. I was just hoping that there was going to be some more tennis tonight, Steve.
Yeah. We love the tennis past midnight, Monica. But here on the West Coast, you know, we're spry. We're still ready to go.
You might be. I was ready to go to bed, but like I said before we started the show, I was going to wake right up when you started your intro, which I did. I mean, this whole place was buzzing.
All right, let's just start off the show. Last man to win the Sunshine Double was Roger Federer back in 2017. Carlos Alcaraz beginning his quest today. Alcaraz defended his Indian Wells title 6 days ago, took out Daniil Medvedev for the second straight year in the final, stayed two in the world, but he's the top seed here in Miami and taken on Roberto Carballes Baena. Andy, he's on a 10-match winning streak against fellow Spaniards. Like Spinal Tap, these go to 11.
Yeah, and listen, confidence is just a wonderful thing. Like, just from the word go, completely in control, getting shape on his forehand. Isn't that all-out aggressive? I feel like he's playing points instead of hitting shots now. He really found that next gear in Indian Wells, and he was just flowing here, Steve. It's like he's dancing, right? He's making that volley look easy. That's above the shoulder, hitting a drop volley from just inside the service line. This is a great starting matchup. Got to hit a lot of balls. He was in full control of pretty much every point. Those sliding volleys, those are not easy. He makes them look easy. They're not. But just in full control, looks like a different guy from the first match in Indian Wells to the first match in Miami.
Saved all three break points he faced, converted 4 of 8, spoils the 31st birthday of Carballes Baena. How about last year's Miami champ? You know, Medvedev has never defended a title before, but got off to a quick start against Martin Fucsovics.
Yeah, we talked about this last night. We just knew that Medvedev was going to be able to be a volume returner today. Was going to, you know, break a ton. It was just a matter of how much he held. This is a tough matchup for Fucsovics. And listen, Medvedev, he's as reliable as gravity, Steve. Like, he just comes out, you know what you're going to get. He's not going to beat himself. You're not going to be able to just come out and kind of blow him off the court. This little, like, inside-out backhand that he's been hitting from the middle of the court, kind of reversing the inside-out forehand, I like it. I wish I could have hit it. It would have been an embarrassing thing for me had I tried it. But Medvedev is just a little bit better. But this is something you don't see often. That's a confidence play when he's serving, volleying, second serve, hitting drop volleys. Tough matchup, but Medvedev.
Yeah, I said it was tough for both of us to make winners. Knew I needed to stay calm. That first match, always the toughest. Jannik Sinner, Andrea Vavasori started their match yesterday, finished today, Andy. Sinner came in 11-0 against fellow Italians on tour.
Yeah, this defense that he's playing now, you see him get off the mark in his first step. This body type where everyone's 6'4" and built like a rubber band, just to fire is so impressive. It's tough to start a match one day and then come back and finish it the next day, but Sinner's just so matched up right now. Like, it just looks like it's easy for him to go out there and perform. And I'm not sure, if you don't have the weaponry, how you're actually going to get on top of Sinner. He's serving and he is holding serve at a clip. That's been the biggest difference, I think, in the last 6 months, on top of the movement, but just his percentage of holds. It's tough to get break points. He is very greedy with giving those out right now. And again, the knockout power on both sides, I just couldn't say, you know, enough things to do center justice. No, there's just nothing you can really do. You don't go through him. You don't go around him. It's tough.
What would you give yourself today? 9 out of 10?
I'm not good in numbers.
No, okay.
But no, it's obviously very tough to play against him because I didn't know I didn't know exactly what to expect. I felt good on court. No, generally it's yesterday was a different day. We started yesterday and then today we finished off the match, so I'm really happy.
Not good with numbers. He's good with just about everything else. Just one loss on the season for Jannik Sinner. So of all those top favorites, top contenders, got Alcaraz, Medvedev, Sinner. Who impressed you the most, Monica?
I definitely like the way that Alcaraz came out onto the court. You can just see the confidence. His shoulders are back. He's playing like he's got it figured out finally. I was able to see Sinner today, and it just pretty much looked routine Sinner. He looked very solid, like he has pretty much all year. So didn't really surprise me. And like we talked about Medvedev, he's super solid all the way around. It really surprised me when you said that he hasn't defended a title yet, because knowing how much he has won already and already winning big titles, that he hasn't defended one?
Yeah.
That's a shocking stat for me, actually.
He's got so many titles, and they're all just one-time titles at this point. So looking to do it for the first time. Our friend Andy Murray, Roddick, tweeted, "Watching Alcaraz play makes me smile." How about you?
Yeah, it makes me smile, too, because he's able to do things on the court that no one else can do. You know, that turning the offense into defense. His body is just electric. The power off the forehand side mixed with the drop. Mixed with a drop shot and the joy that he's playing with again. You know, he's kind of a victim of his own shadow already, where if he doesn't play great, we're like, oh, what's happening with Carlos Alcaraz? Let's all calm down. Let's take the temperature. This guy's going to win 8 to 10 majors minimum. He's still so young and can do everything. It's just so much fun to watch him play. Fully agree with Murray.
Yeah, 20 years old and all he does. Murray told us at Indian Wells, we asked him favorite players to watch. He said Alcaraz. He said Monfils. Loves to watch him, too. Big win for Monfils tonight. All right, let's get to the ladies. Couple of women in action with four major titles, starting with Naomi Osaka, taking on Elena Svitolina, who Osaka said has been an inspiration for her coming back from maternity leave, Monica.
And you know, Steve, we thought this was going to be a really tricky matchup from the get-go, but Osaka started very, very strong, was able to get up an early break in the first set, and pretty much just ran away with it from here. She looked very poised, very confident, controlling that inner third of the court, just looking to really steamroll and overpower Svitolina. Now, this second set was a little bit tighter. Down a break point here, Osaka. And with a swing volley winner from the baseline, heading backward, this second set tiebreak was pretty tight, especially at this point. You can kind of see Osaka a little bit seizing up with her ground strokes. A little tentative with this overhead, was really careful with it. But overall, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Osaka. She seems lighter. She seems happier. She seems like she's enjoying herself for once out on the tennis court. And a happy Osaka is a powerful Osaka.
Certainly is. Fourth win over Svitolina. She'll play Caroline Garcia next for the third time this year. Take a look at this. As mothers, pretty similar comebacks between these two. Osaka was gone for 15 months, Svitolina for 12. Osaka was unranked on her return. Svitolina was 1,081. And right now, you see, she's up to 17. Osaka has gotten all the way to 229. And she was very pleased with her performance. Take a listen.
I definitely do think it was one of my best matches, if not best match. But I also want myself to play better and better every match. So I don't know. I feel like for me going into the match, I knew that she's a great player and I had no choice but to play really well if I wanted a chance to win.
Oh, the other four-time major champ, Iga Swiatek, beginning her quest for a second sunshine double against Camilla Giorgi. It can go a couple of ways with Camilla Giorgi. This time it was all Swiatek.
Yeah, Camilla Giorgi, one of those players who, it depends how she wakes up, how she's going to play. If she wakes up on the right side of the bed, she can hit you off the court. If not, it could be a festival of errors. But Swiatek, super solid all around today, like she has been. She just eliminates chances of a beatdown, Iga firing on all cylinders. And she just seems to break down her opponents time and time again, no matter how good they play. And this is exactly how she does it, taking away time from her opponents, footwork on point, a little flick of the wrist with this forehand angle, and she is just on a roll. It doesn't seem to me like she could do any wrong at this point. This is a routine win for her, and she's moving on happily.
That's a festival of winners, a fiesta of winners, we'll call it. Swiatek, now 71-0 after winning the first set at 1,000-level events. Pretty good stuff for her, Andy. But circling back to Naomi Osaka, called it her best win in her comeback. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was on record 2 weeks ago after seeing her play in Indian Wells. I think she's going to win big tournaments again. Maybe she's progressing a little quicker than maybe we all thought, but she's serving great. She's sticking second serve returns, and she's controlling the middle of the court. Monica can speak to this better than I can because I haven't been on the other side of it, but it seems like when she really takes a rip of the ball, it just gets there faster than anyone else on earth, and she's starting to square those up more and more. I thought this was a great win against Svitolina today.
I absolutely agree with that. And also just saying a little bit more, it's not so much about her game, but her head. And right now, I saw her in Abu Dhabi live in person. She was hitting the ball great. And that's the thing about Osaka. I'm never going to question the way that she hits the ball. But mentally, how is she doing on the court? Because her mental status does affect the way a player always plays. And she looked a little bit timid. She looked a little bit unsure. Obviously, it was the very early stages of her comeback. But here in Miami, Indian Wells, she just looks like she kind of got it figured out. She said in Dubai that she felt much better than she did in Doha, Abu Dhabi. So, you know, it takes those reps to kind of get back into the swing of things. And this is the Osaka that we like to see, who's confident in her strokes, who's confident in her serves, who knows that she can move her way around the court. And honestly, she can hit anyone off the court at this point. And like we were talking about, Iga is one of those players that you really, you know, want to test doing that. I feel like Osaka, if she continues to do that, she's right back there in the conversation of being right back up at the top again.
Yeah, a confident Osaka is a scary Osaka for the rest of the WTA. Meantime, day started very slowly for the American men, but finished strong. Our guy Chris Eubanks, three-set thriller on court one, Monica. The former Yellow Jacket had the entire Georgia Tech team behind him.
Yeah, he had head coach Kenny Thorne, assistant coach Kevin King there. He had all the men's team cheering him on. And this is a tough test with Evans. He can be very tricky, disrupt your play, but this was flashbacks for me, honestly, on Dan Evans from Atlanta last year. Had some matches where he was up, couldn't really convert, but clutch stuff from Chris Eubanks here in the tiebreaker, and it just goes to show. For me, I always feel like when Chris has his friends and his fans, he is on fire. And it's great to see.
Read the lips.
Go Jackets.
Save two match points. And Andy read the lips in that one, making the quarterfinals here last year. It all kind of started for him in Miami. Broke into the top 100. His star still shining. Big thanks. That's our guy. Still to come, we look ahead to Sunday, focusing on rising American Emma Navarro in our FanDuel match preview. Don't go anywhere. It's TC Live. Monica, Andy, Steve, back with you on TC Live from the Miami Open. Tomorrow on T2, we got you covered with some good matchups. Kwon Soon-Woo taking on Alex de Minaur, and then Andy Murray against Thomas Mahach. Murray coming off the win against Echeverry. Mahach, the upset of Andrei Rublev. It's Ted Robinson and Nico Pereira on the call at 1 p.m. Eastern. By the way, we're going to celebrate one of the biggest wins of Nico's career later in the show. You don't want to miss that. Time now, though, for our FanDuel match preview. Emma Navarro, Jasmine Paolini both come in at career highs, playing their best tennis, both won titles this year. What do you think of these odds, Monica?
I still kind of heavily favorite Emma Navarro with her consistent climb to the top. She has been very quiet. Not a lot of people have been talking too much about her, maybe a little bit here and there, but she has really made her way up the ranks. She says that she's not really concerned about her ranking, but winning equals ranking going up. And I really like the way that she plays. I called a lot of her matches in Auckland. I like the way that she moves around the court. I like that in the women's game, you don't see it very often, Both players actually like to dominate the court with their forehand, running around their backhands, hitting forehands. If it were me and Andy said it, he would never hit an inside-out backhand. That was my bread and butter. But both of these girls will definitely not do that on the court. But, you know, that's just the thing. But Paolini winning in Dubai, her first 1,000 title, that was huge. But I'm still giving the upper hand to Emma Navarro with the way that she's gone about these last couple 12 months or so.
All right, going with the odds makers. Andy, Paolini's ranked higher. I mean, the race right now, Paolini's 7, Navarro's 11. So that tells you how well they've played this year. Do you agree, though, that Emma is favored in this match despite being ranked lower?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's just been so rock solid. She just wins matches every week. And to Monica's point, if she would have had my back end, she wouldn't have been hitting back ends from the middle of court. I'll just tell you that much right now. That's a certainty. That was an absolute liability. You know what's not a liability? Emma Navarro in 2024. I think she wins this match.
All right. Looking forward to it. A couple players playing their best tennis of their careers. Reminder right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. When we come back, once the Raptors dried off the court, several Americans found themselves in vulnerable situations. We'll tell you how many stayed dry and in the draw.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Puig, Roddick, Weissman back on TC Live. And on this show, we always give props where props are deserved. And last night, Andy had this to say about the odds on Taylor Fritz match today.
I actually think it's overpriced here. Say about however you pronounce it, which is probably the appropriate way to do it. I like Fritz in the matchup. I think he's an overwhelming favorite, but like 6-1, 7-1, that's a big number. I don't hate the other side of this at those numbers.
And guess what? Always trust Roddick. ATR. That's our new acronym. Roddick, take it away.
Steve, pay the man. All right, just pay the man. I can't. I picked him last night. I still can't say his name because it doesn't make sense with the way it's spelled. But what is it? Say it for me, Steve. What is it?
Tiago Zajac Vujic.
Zajac. Obviously, you pronounce the TH like a CH, Steve. But I'll tell you what he did. The guy came out of his shoes over and over on that forehand side today. I was just watching his score lines from qualies in Indian Wells, qualies in Miami. They were pretty convincing. The guy was in good form. This is his fourth match, Taylor's first match. In with a shot the whole time. Start to finish, guy just dominated. He played great. I was really impressed with Zajac. Good?
Huge.
Bitch, dang it. I was so close.
You'll get it. So the top-ranked American man out. What about Francis Tiafoe, Andy, taking on the Aussie Chris O'Connell?
Yeah, and Francis is looking for something right now. Obviously wants to get in a good result here. He just, like, that's been the story of his year. It's like it could have gone over, but it just didn't quite go over. But wants a good result here in Miami before he goes to the clay, which is probably his least favorite surface. That is a massive back, and I would like to see the radar gun on that one. But all day, Francis, I just feel like right now he's trying to find it, maybe forcing his way in a little bit. That approach shot, Steve, was from 3 feet behind the baseline, right? You're not going to be in the right position if you're kind of trying to force the issue from there. And I can sympathize with it because we've all been searching for confidence and forced it a little bit, and it just wasn't his day. He's going to have to regroup, Steve.
7-7 now on the year for Big Foe. Just one win during the Sunshine Double. It went from bad to worse, though, for the seeded American men. Tommy Paul playing some of his best tennis semifinals at Indian Wells. Started strong here, Andy, before the tough news.
Yeah, and I have a hard time watching injuries, so I'm going to look away during this one, which should make calling a highlight pretty easy, Steve. But Tommy Paul was cruising here, and right about there, turns his ankle, and you can tell when they look bad right away. Like, as soon as he did that, you know it's over. There's not a trainer that's going to come out when someone's hopping to their chair. It just sucks for Tommy because he's been playing so well. Great result last week in Indian Wells. You hate to see it. I guess Brad Stein said after the match that it wasn't as bad as they initially thought, but that looked really painful. I hope he gets back sooner rather than later, Steve.
Yeah, the reports are basic ankle sprain. TP will need about 2 to 3 weeks to recover. Also rolled his ankle to Indian Wells also. And take a look at this. Fritz, Paul, Tiafo, Alex Mickelson going down on the women's side. Sloane Stephens, Claire Liu, Katie Vollinets, and Taylor Townsend losing. Good news. Martin Dam moves up 30 spots to a career high, 174 in the rankings. But for Tommy Paul, now back-to-back tournaments where he has turned that ankle, should he consider wearing ankle braces, more support going forward?
It could be a possibility. Obviously, when you have an ankle brace or something like that, you're kind of like restricting the ankle from moving. Sometimes players choose not to wear it so that they can continue to strengthen their ankle so something like this doesn't happen again and they have like that trust issue. I was able to speak to Franco Herrero, his fitness coach, after the match. They were getting the scans on the ankle. Obviously, very optimistic on that he will be able to recover very quickly. I know that they have been focusing heavily on his fitness, so he's strong enough to recover from this injury. It'll take some time, but they were happy that at least, I mean, not happy, but happy that it happened now and not, let's say, a week or two before the French Open, that he has this time to recover. He can maybe sacrifice a clay tournament or two and then come back and get ready for the second slam of the season.
Yeah. Andy, what do you think about the fact of starting to wear ankle support?
I think he should do it if he's uncomfortable with it. But the biggest thing, I think more important than the ankle supports, is just giving himself time. Do not rush back from this injury, right? Like, you go over the clay, if you're not fully confident in your ankle, you catch an edge on the dirt, and then you're in the same spot all over again. Just patience. I was guilty. I was a dummy, Steve, like rushing back from injuries, getting back out there when I shouldn't have been out there, not having full confidence left in it. So just take your time. You've had great results this year. There's a lot of runway left in this season. Just take your time.
Yeah. We send our best out to Tommy and the team. Hope he gets back and healthy very soon, because TP was playing some spectacular ball out there. On the women's side, last time an American qualifier reached the round of 16 in Miami, 2018. Taylor Townsend trying to update that stat against Elena Rybakina, Monica.
Yeah, and I really like this matchup for Taylor. She has been playing incredibly great tennis this whole week, but Rybakina is very, very dangerous when she's serving well and when she's able to dictate play, which Taylor was kind of, you know, bossing her around the court a little bit. She had her chance here in the second set and took it when she did, and that reaction is all you needed to know. She's fired up. She's ready to go, but Rybakina is Rybakina for a reason. We can't read her. We have no idea what's going on. And even though Taylor was fighting, she just kept fighting back in her own way, stepping in here with her backhand and just seeming to dominate with that forehand side as well. And, well, unfortunately for Taylor, it's goodbye, but she's going to have to wait a little bit longer for that career high ranking. But she's looking really good in what the remainder of this year will bring, and she'll get there. But Rybakina is moving on in this one.
Yeah, 16 aces for her, 6 in that final set to advance. Then we had an all-seed matchup. Aryna Sabalenka and Galina Kalinina. This one went the distance, Monty.
And this is the type of player that Sabalenka will struggle against, as somebody who gets a lot of balls in the court, will test her patience and cause her to make a lot of unforced errors. Sabalenka was up in this first set, and it seemed like she was going to cruise. Kalinina, such a fighter. She came and won a three-set match in 3 hours against Wozniacki, so this was probably going to be no different. Sabalenka finding her way out there in the second set. We know what she's been going through, but mentally, she's one of the toughest players out there on tour, and she will not give an inch, and that is exactly what she did here in this second set. She kind of focused, channeled her energy, but Kalinina got off to a really, really quick start in this third set. Sabalenka clearly not happy, but Kalinina, again, surviving in three.
Yeah, 6-1 there in the third. You see all that frustration coming out for Sabalenka. She will be packing her bags. We still send her all the best. Hope things emotionally and mentally get better for her. It takes a little bit of time. As we enter the social net, a huge day in tennis history. Our own Nico Pereira took down world number one Tomas Muster in the first round of the Miami Open back in 1996. Remember this, Roddick?
I don't remember this specific match. I remember, like, Pereira's fantastic. I remember Mooster was an animal. Like, he was an absolute. I remember that one year where he won Roland Garros. I think it was 95, beat Chang in the final. He had kind of that Rafa thing that year where you just felt like there's no chance he was going to lose. And so it must have been a hell of a match that our Nico played against him, because Mooster didn't give you much.
It was the first three matches that he played after getting to number one. He lost all of them, including this one, to Nico Pereira, who's now calling matches for us on T2, Monica.
I mean, I can't say much to this match because I was only three, but Nico was actually one of the first people who ever interviewed me when I had some of my biggest wins in Wimbledon, and this is a different Nico than I'm used to seeing. You know, he's always looking very dapper in his suits and stuff, but props to Nico. Vamos.
Vamos. Well, well done, Nico. We love you here. So, big win there against the world number one. Also on this date, who remembers this first ATP win for our own Andy Roddick? What do you remember about this day?
Yeah, I remember that I won this one, lost to Andre, then my mom made me go to school the next day. you know, so that was a night session, so that was interesting. Fernando Vicente of I Coach Rublev fame now. This was a big one. You know, it went kind of a little, I get like embarrassed watching myself at a certain age because I was such a moron. But this was a fun day. You know, you play your whole life hoping you're going to win a match on a big stage. And luckily it was the first of many and I enjoyed them all.
That's awesome. Monica, remember your first match? First win?
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
What's with the? You're not looking at the ball, Andy. What are the fundamentals? Look at the ball on contact.
Also look at my sweet spot for my backhand. It's about on this. That's dangerously close to a frame right there. That was unfortunately that's what it was. So you know that
it like
took
it's
that copy backhand a long way.
That's a home run, not a backhand.
It looks like a lot of things, Monica. None of which are good. Let's move on.
You have any mementos from this day?
I don't think I have mementos from any part of my career, Steve, but that was fun to see.
Well, I know you threw out a lot of trophies, but you never know. All right, here's our schedule on Sunday, which for Andy and folks on the East Coast is later today. 11 a.m. Eastern is when it all starts. TC Live, of course, follows the night session and encore coverage all night long. Our hot shot of the day coming from Chris Eubanks. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, good.
Welcome back. It's time for our hot shot of the day. We didn't put it in the highlight, Andy, because we were saving it.
For the life of me, I couldn't understand why it wasn't in the highlight. And now I know, Steve. Now I know, because we wanted to save it for the fans. But look at this. Evans, if he just waits a second and doesn't rush that ball, Eubanks has to make a move. Like, he has to make a move before you hit it if you wait long. He rushed it. Banks got a good read on it and saved the match. Evans going to be thinking about that one all the way home.
Saved two match points. That was massive. Rambling wreck out there. All right, here are the matches that we are focused on a Sunday. Ben Shelton playing his first match on Sunday. Crazy. Coco Gauff in action. Jesse Pegula taking on Leila Fernandez. That's a good one. Sinner back in action. Świątek back in action. And Cam Nori against Daniil Medvedev. For more, we send it back to Miami with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back at our Tennis Channel Cadillac desk. Prakash, Tomas Mihac beat the youngest player in the draw in Darwin Blanche. And en route, now he will take on the oldest player in the draw in Andy Murray. So who do you give the edge to?
Yeah, look, Mihac beat Rublev in the middle. A huge, huge win for him. I don't think Rublev played all that well, though, and I just love the fire that Andy Murray is bringing. He looked brilliant in that match against Echeverry. I love the way he came through against Berrettini in a real back and forth match. So I'm going with the Scot. I think he's going to inch towards that 1,000 matches. He's at 995 right now, and I think he might need a few. Get him, Kings, from us from the sideline.
What is it? The fighting the old dog yet? You love that as well.
Absolutely.
He's giving you all types of gems here. Look, we're in for eight. Exciting Sunday in Miami.
Anytime Prakash can get a get him king for Andy Murray, it is a good day. I talked to Andy about that in Indian Wells. Now he knows exactly what we're talking about. But let's talk about Coco Gauff, who is back in action as well. It's a home tournament for her. She's commuting from her house. Said the hotel was like 30 minutes away from home. She could get there in 45 minutes. So why not sleep in your own bed? What do you expect for her against Oceane Dodin?
I honestly think that Coco should get through this match. Dodin is a player kind of like we were talking about Camilla Giorgi, that it depends on how she wakes up on a given day. She has a big serve. She can hit the living daylights out of the ball. But honestly, I think that Coco's defensive skills will disrupt the French woman. When players tend to get a couple balls in the court against her, she definitely starts to self-destruct and start spraying the unforced errors. But Coco looked really solid in her previous round. I don't think she'll have any problem with this matchup now.
On the men's side, we've got a really entertaining matchup. Daniil Medvedev, the returning champ, against Cam Nori. Andy, Medvedev's won both of their previous matches in straight sets, but what do you think will happen tomorrow?
There's not going to be a lot of topspin on some backhands out there, I'll tell you that much. They both get the shovel out, Steve. Not a lot of top on this, but I just like Medvedev. I think Nori, what you're going to see is he's going to force the issue like he was in Australia, trying to come forward a little bit more. That's an adjustment he's made this year. And I don't think he wants to, like, it's a rare match when Nori doesn't want to get into extended rallies. I think this is one of the rare ones that he doesn't want to get into 15, 20, 25 ball rallies against Medvedev. They play kind of similar, just Medvedev day in, day out does it better. I think Nori's going to force the issue a little bit.
All right, Andy, we can say you can go off to bed now, and we will see you later today. It's been a fun one. We got today, tomorrow, whatever it is, some fantastic matchups.
He already left.
He logs off very quickly. Don't forget this, though. Big Banks.
Woo!
With all the Yellow Jackets in attendance. That's right. Moving on to the next round in Miami. For Monica Puig, Andy Roddick, I'm Steve Weissman. Thanks for watching TC Live.